These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
Podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host Chris Cook.
And welcome. This is the podcast for Grassroots Radio Colorado, and I am your host, Chris Cook, hostess. I don't know. I've never quite figured out what I should use there. Anyway, I've got a subject that I want to cover with you tonight. And it's actually, it was spurred by last night's podcast on the accounting and the Colorado GOP and the financial questions that we've got. But it was an interesting question that came to light in Facebook. It was a friend of mine who asked, why do we worship the God of unity? If unity is so important, we should just be unified with Democrats and then everything would be grand. And you know, he had an excellent point. An excellent point. I had never really thought of it that way, but you know, we should just all unify with the Democrats and then everything will be wonderful. We'll have no confrontation. Everyone will get along. Dogs and cats living together. Mass chaos, right? Let's unpack this, because unity, especially party unity, is a really complicated concept. Much more complicated, I think, for Republicans than it is for Democrats. Let me explain that for a second, because Democrats have the questionable advantage of being collectivist thinkers, okay? They think in terms of group. They think in terms of what we do for each other always. And I mean, they don't think deeply into that. They don't think the right way into that. But that's at the topmost part of their mind, such as it is. And that is the part that says you have to sacrifice for your fellow man, and you have to think like they do, and you have to be PC, and you have to engage in groupthink. And you know, it's just, that's a natural mode for Democrats. It's a natural path for their brains to go down. And so I think they have I'm not a Democrat. I've never been a Democrat. I've never been to Democrat functions. I should probably go in the name of research at some point in time, but I really, really want to stay out of jail. I really do. So I don't go. But it seems, at least from the outside, that they have a much easier time of pulling together the troops, everybody rallying behind, you know, a candidate or a couple candidates. And I mean, they're having a little bit of trouble during this cycle because there are a lot of Democrats and a lot of liberals who maybe aren't registered Democrat who don't want to get behind Hillary. And we're seeing that in the big, big crowds that Bernie Sanders is pulling. We're seeing that in a lot of things. Bernie Sanders is actually a really interesting phenomenon that I want to talk to you guys about at some point. Probably not tonight, but the Democrats, it seems to me, as a party, have a much easier time pulling together than Republicans seem to. And the contrast may simply be because I am so deeply entrenched in Republican politics and I'm active in Republican politics, so I see all the division. I see it in excruciating, gory detail on a daily basis. And sometimes participate in it. I get that. You know, if you have invective that you want to push at me, find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado. You can email me, chris@grassrootsradiocolorado.com. Yeah, I participate in this sometimes, but here's the thing about Republicans, and particularly, I think, about the Liberty Movement itself, and that is we are individuals, and that is one of our highest values I think, is our individualism as opposed to collectivism. Individualism as a value that we truly understand that we, each of us, are unique little snowflakes all unto ourselves, that we each have different hopes and dreams, that we each have different ways of thriving, different ways of getting to happiness, that pursuit of happiness that the Declaration of Independence talks about. Each of us has a different path, a different way of doing that, a different way of being in the world, and we celebrate that as Republicans, I think, much more than Democrats do. They give it lip service, and then every single thing that they do turns around to try to conform people to the group. And Republicans, at least ideologically, and let me put that caveat out there. I think ideologically, Republicans are much more individual. And so when this comes into practice, that's the theory. But when you take this into practice, how does that look? What does that look like? And what it looks like is a giant freaking spaghetti mess. That is really what unity or any attempt at unity looks like in the Republican Party. And that is certainly what it looks like, complete with marinara sauce and whatever chunks of anything that you want to throw in there. I mean, it is a mess to try to pull. It's like herding cats. That is the best way that I have ever heard to describe how to pull together the Republican Party in my entire life. It is like herding cats. You get three of them together, you try to get the fourth in there, two of them escape. You know, it's just the way it works. We are at odds with each other. We each believe that we are right, always. We have strong personalities. We paint in bold colors, not pale pastels. And so that creates a lot of energy, a lot of dynamic energy within the party. And so when we then have problems, or we have a need to unify, for example, for an election, okay? And don't doubt me on this. Make no mistake. The 2016 November presidential general election started for many Republicans about 3 months ago. They are trying to pull everyone together behind one candidate so that we can get that candidate, whoever he may be, elected. You saw this in the Fox News debate last Thursday. The very, very first question out of Chris Wallace's mouth was, will all of you pledge not to run as a third party and to support whoever the nominee is? That is the crux question. That is the crux question that puts everything else into jeopardy. And that is the problem that so many Republicans don't understand. They don't see this. They don't see how this destroys not only the soul of the party, not only the soul of who we are and who we are ideologically, but it destroys the platform. It destroys any chance we have of actually reclaiming the country. When you call for unity like that, what you are assuming, or what the Republicans who call for that, and there are a lot of them out there, Republicans who call for that kind of unity, especially now, we're not in the 3 months leading up to the general. We're not at the point where we have a single nominee and we are looking at math. I mean, basically at that point in time, what we are doing, what they are doing by calling for unity at this particular point in time, at this juncture, at this part of the election cycle, is to tell people to set aside your soul, set aside the things that you feel are important about your civic duty, and let's simply get somebody in red elected to office. To do that, we have been told over and over again that the basic way that that happens, the basic dynamic in all of this, is that we have to move to the middle. We have to move to the left, in other words. Since we are on the right, moving to the middle means moving left, right? And so we have to move left. We have to become more progressive so that we have a bigger appeal to more people in the country. Those are the candidates we should support. Go Jeb Bush. You know, I mean, that's what it all boils down to. That's what it all boils down to. And they'll make claim after claim after claim that we're being too purist if we're holding on to a Ted Cruz or even a Rand Paul or whoever it is that you like in the Republican field who you feel is a conservative candidate. Now, if you like Jeb Bush, well, then by all means, go for it. But I'm going to continue to lambast him because I think he's about the worst candidate we could ever, ever, ever put up. But, you know, if we're too idealistic to hold on to somebody and to support someone like Ted Cruz, who stands, I believe, for principle. Yeah, I'm letting my agenda show. You guys make your own decisions, but that's who I like because I believe that he gets it. I believe that he gets that vision. I believe that he gets the founder's vision, and that's the vision that most closely aligns with mine. The guy gets the Constitution. He's memorized it, for crying out loud. The entire Constitution. He has memorized the let that sink in for a second. Ted Cruz has memorized the Constitution. That should tell you something about how much he reveres that document. That aligns with my view. That aligns with who I want in that Oval Office. That aligns with who I am as a person. And so I support Ted Cruz because of that. Not 100%. There are things that we diverge on, but I think the quiz I took the other day said 68%. Ted and I were together. 68%. So when it comes down to that, and I like Ted Cruz and you like Jeb Bush and you also like Rand Paul or, you know, whoever, then you're looking at people expressing their individual differences, their individual preferences, and their opportunity at this point in time to try to persuade others that their candidate is the right candidate. That is exactly what needs to be happening right now in the presidential race. People don't like that. They don't want that to happen. They don't want to see division. They don't want to see that their views are being challenged, often because they can't defend them. Usually that's what I find to be the case. They don't know why they think what they think. They just know that they think it. And so when it comes to that, it really bothers me. And I try to challenge people. You know what? Why do you believe that? Why is that important to you? Why is that part of what you want out of life? And they can't answer it. If they can, great. Then they've presented hopefully a factual case for why they support that candidate. And I want to hear that. And maybe I'll consider it and I'll weigh it and I'll decide, you know, whether or not that fits with my values, and maybe I'll change my mind. That's how you persuade at this point in time. But to demand unity simply for the sake of unity, it's a tribe mentality. It's group dynamics. It's saying, okay, you are wearing a Republican label, therefore you will act in this way and you will perform X, Y, and Z actions, or else we are going to say that you are not a real Republican. Now, I'm not talking about not adhering to the platform. If you're an elected official, I think that you should do that. That's not part of being in the tribe. That is part of signing on to an ideological base. And if you are not willing to sign on to that ideological base, at least let's just say 70% of the time, then you do not deserve to wear the party label. That I strongly believe. But if I simply disagree with your choice in candidate, that does not make me a destroyer of the party. If I simply disagree with how important I think the principles are versus how important you think the principles are, that does not make me a destroyer of the party. My insistence on integrity from my elected officials, my willingness to hold them accountable for their actions based on the platform and based on campaign promises that they've made, my insistence on being able to do that and on holding those officials' feet to the fire, as we like to say, that does not make me a destroyer of the party. On the contrary, I really think that that means that I am fulfilling my civic duty. If we had been doing this all along for the past century, think about where our country would be right now. If we had been making our elected officials adhere to the promises that they made, or else we would recall them. If we had been making our elected officials adhere to the platform that they signed on, adhere at least to defending the Constitution that they took an oath to defend, if we had been doing that all along, where would our country be now? Instead of this incredible slide to the left, this progressiveness, this progressive destruction, we would be sitting squarely in constitutional principles, in a representative republic, as our founders had intended, if we had done our job. I feel like when I do that, that is what I'm doing. I am doing my job as a citizen. So when we come back, I want to talk about this at a more local level, because that is a lot where it's rearing its ugly head. And so we'll talk about that. And how that applies on a day-to-day basis when you're not talking about the presidential race, when you're talking about, for example, the chairman of the Colorado GOP. I'm Chris Cook. Stay tuned. That one is Lee Rosevere. Colorless Green Ideas Sleep Furiously is the name of the album. Theme from Captain Unique and the Omnipotence. I just really liked the name anyway. So you can find that one on freemusicarchive.org. And that's a lot of fun. It's just weird stuff. It's just cool. It's just cool. So we're talking about unity. We're talking about party unity and within the Republican Party. And this is something that I keep hearing it over and over and over again. The people just want everyone to stop fighting. And, you know, at one level, I actually do get that. I'm tired of this. I am tired of this division. I said it when I started my podcast on Thursday. I said it this way. I feel like my family is breaking up. It's like watching your parents get divorced. You know, I mean, this is the Liberty Movement has, and this may be a sad statement, but the Liberty Movement has been my life in a lot of ways over the course of the past 3 or 4 years. And to watch the disintegration that I feel like I see happening is it's terrifying. What's going to happen with the future? Are we going to have conservative representation? Are we going to have an army of people to fight for conservative values? Or are we losing that in the state of Colorado because of this conflict? Because there are folks who want to see Steve step down. There are folks who vehemently oppose those who want to see Steve step down. And you know, people are very emotional about this. Myself included. I mean, I'm not gonna put myself above the fray on this. I have become emotional about this. I'm emotionally invested in the outcome. And people on, for example, on Facebook, and of course, this is where you see a lot of it, and maybe this is the only place that it happens. Maybe this is the only place that it happens is on Facebook, where all this these attacks happen and stuff like that, and you don't see that in person. I have not encountered a lot of folks in person who are willing to confront me about my call for Chairman House to step down. At least not to my face, but they're more than willing to do so on Facebook, where they're more or less anonymous. And, you know, we may or may not have met, and we may or may not remember that we had this conversation at the time that we did meet and the time we do meet. And so a lot of people, you know, they just attack from that basis. But, you know, maybe that's where we're at. We've got people who just, they want unity at any cost. They want the fighting to stop, the conflict to stop, and it doesn't matter how that happens to them. It doesn't matter the integrity of our elected officials doesn't matter to them. The trust placed in our elected officials, and I include Chairman House as an elected official. He was elected. He was elected by the Central Committee, and the Central Committee has a say as to whether or not he continues. The Central Committee will be meeting in September, and that's 500 or so Republicans from across the state and a bunch of elected officials serving in government who get to make that vote. But what I keep going back to is, what is our mission? What is our mission, and what are we going to do to create the right set of circumstances to affect that mission? That is the question that continuously haunts me and consumes probably a bit more of my mental capacity than I can afford to give up. But, you know, that's where I'm at. What is our mission? What is our mission? Is our mission simply to keep the party together at all costs? It's not. That's really not my mission. That's really not my mission. I think that the party is a means to an end, and that's why I'm still a Republican in a lot of ways. I would have dropped out of the Republican Party under Chairman Call, oh gosh, years ago, if I didn't feel that the Republican Party was the best train to drive in order to get to where we needed to go. And I can still change my mind on that. I can still decide that, you know what, this is a broken train. It's gone off the tracks. Forget it. We're going to catch a bus. I can still change my mind on that. But for the moment and for the next little while, I'm going to continue to try to drive this train in a way that gets us to our destination. The destination is getting conservatives elected in 2016, setting up the conditions so that we can win the governor's mansion in 2018, so that we can redistrict in 2020 and not get screwed as we did in 2010, and have a chance. Have a chance to put conservative, liberty-loving candidates into office. And I don't mean just any Republicans. When I say conservative, I mean conservative. I mean people who embrace the Constitution. I mean people who understand deep in their soul, deep in their bones, what it means to have integrity to that original vision, to live your life with the thought in the back of your head, are we fulfilling what the founders put out for us? I was talking to a friend tonight, and I said, I feel like our country right now is sort of like a 32-year-old kid with dreadlocks down to his shoulders smoking dope in his parents' basement because he can never get his life together. That's kind of what America feels like to me right now. But that's not the potential that America had when it was a 2-year-old boy being lovingly watched by his parents as he took his first steps. That the potential inherent in that toddler, I feel like there was the same kind of potential, only for millions and millions of people. The same kind of potential was present at the birth of our country. And I want to fulfill that potential. When I was growing up, you remember getting your report cards when you were a kid in elementary school, and they give you the plus and the plus minus and all that crap, and you never knew quite whether you were doing well or not, because what's a plus and what's a plus minus? Really? A plus minus? But the comments that I got, I remember. I don't remember what grades I got. I'm sure that they were all pretty much whatever the highest one was, but I don't remember if that was the plus or the check or what. The comment that I always got, though, was, Chris is not living up to her potential. Meaning that I was joking around in class or I was daydreaming or something because I was so freaking bored. But that was that comment, and that word always stuck with me, potential. Potential. What does that really mean? That means that there's a bigger space for you to fill out. That there's more to what you're trying to do than where you're constricting yourself, where you've stuck yourself in a tinier little space. And that, having that space to expand and grow and be and live and thrive, that's potential. That's what America has. And we have that because of what the founders set up for us. We have that because of the Constitution and the chains that it put on our government, the restrictions that it put on our government. So the government did not fill every nook and cranny of our lives, and we could expand to fill our own lives. That's what that was. That's what that is. And that is the thing that we are failing to live up to, because we are not working to fill that potential. And so when people call for unity within the Colorado State GOP, when people call for, you have to get behind Chairman House, he's your guy, you better back him. Yeah, he was my guy. He was my guy. And, you know, he may be again. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how all this is going to play out. I have now been promised a role in trying to heal the financials of the party, and I'm excited about that. I think that that's a good opportunity. My goal is not necessarily to redeem Chairman House. My goal is to get the party financials back to a transparent state, or to a transparent state, I don't know if they ever were there, so that we can move forward to the mission of electing conservatives and doing the things that need to be done. So maybe my opinion will change. I don't know at this point. What I do know is that a mindless call for people to get in line, a mindless call for people to simply support the red jersey because you call yourself a Republican, and anything else that you do, anything you do that might be critical of the party is therefore electing Democrats. I never quite understood that. Never quite understood that line of reasoning. I had another friend point out to me the other day, if you tell me that my refusal to vote for Romney is the same as a vote for Obama, well, then I tell you that my refusal to vote for Obama is the same as a vote for Romney. There you go. And I scratched my head when I saw that. I said, I have never seen a more perfect logical statement in my entire life. I thought that was absolutely perfect. We do not have to fall in line behind the nominee. We do not have to fall in line even behind the chairman. Until they prove themselves to us, until they prove that they are worthy of our support, they are worthy of our vote, they are worthy of our money, until they prove all that, we do not owe a debt of loyalty in any way, shape, or form. This is not a feudal system. This is not, we are not the serfs in this scenario. We are not owed to anyone. We are not pledging our allegiance to any person. We pledge our allegiance to a flag because the flag represents a country, and the country represents the opportunity for us to grow and thrive. No person holds that. No single person holds that allegiance, and we do not owe it to anyone. Now, are there issues of math when we get to the general? Maybe. Maybe, although I am less and less convinced of that as I grow older and become more educated. But at this point in time, where we are in the election cycle, we need to look at whether or not our elected officials are, or our candidates or our potential candidates are serving our needs or have the potential to serve our needs and our values, and will help us obtain the ultimate mission of reclaiming this republic and restoring that original vision. Until we get to that point, until they've proven that to us, until they've come halfway, at least halfway, to show us that they have allegiance to us and that they will defend the Constitution. They will do their best to try to get conservatives elected in 2016, that is the mission, and their ego has been put on hold. Until those things are proven, we are not going to get anywhere. Thanks so much for joining me this evening. Remember, you can find me on Facebook, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradio.com. Remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.